Welcome to Gravel Notes with David Evans. Well, it had to happen, didn't it? Colin Clark is joining me for the first time on my new podcast. So welcome, Colin.
Yeah, listen, you have to be congratulated, David. It's been a top quality offering, I have to say. And I've sat at home listening to it thinking, I wonder when he's going to invite me. Yeah. It's great to be along. Thank you very much for
You said you hadn't listened to it yet.
Yeah, okay. I might be telling little porkies there, David. But it is an honour to be on your podcast and so much to talk about as well this week, obviously.
It is. So much to talk about. Now, you may hear a little bit of background noise here because we are recording this podcast actually in the most fever studio in the whole wide world. We're going to talk about Rally GB, obviously, but we are now on the Mishnish Locks stage. We are recording live from Citroën's beautiful
C5 crossover. Lovely car. Really lovely
car.
Mishnish Lochs. Lochs, David.
Sorry, Lochs.
Yeah, and we're on right now, one of the best sections of the stage. But it's quite incredible. What a rallying week we get in the UK. We get Rally GB 2 weeks, effectively, we've had of rallying. With a build-up to GB, Rally GB, a couple of days off, then up to the...
Did you have a couple of days off?
Well, not really off. A couple of days off of rallying, and then up to...
Good Lord.
I know,
There's no commitment from you, Colin. I'll set the scene for you now. We are driving down a very narrow stretch of...
But the cars will be flat out here.
The cars will be flat out. It is raining a little bit. There's a car coming towards us, and he stopped, which is a relief. That's nice. Yeah. We're happy about that. And we're kind of between the lochs at the moment, and very much in... Whitetail Sea Eagle country. It's a beautiful part of the world. It is... What day are we today? Thursday. So Mull Rally starts tomorrow evening. But we'll come to that. We really do need to get back to Rally GB first. And Colin, what were your thoughts?
I'm out and about all weekend. I came into Llandudno on the Thursday. I didn't see Llandudno again until about 4 o'clock on Sunday evening. And I was out and about in the Welsh countryside in the intervening period with the rally. And it was magnificent. It was magnificent. That part of Wales is beautiful. The TV pictures, the photographs that came out of Wales, the level of competition, the number of spectators, fantastic. Big ticks all round in that regard, David. And because I wasn't in Llandudno, difficult for me to offer much comment on whether or not it worked. But what I did do is I talked to people, as I always do. And there was a degree of concern, shall we say, about whether or not Llandudno was the right place for the service park. No question about the stages, they were magnificent, spectators were magnificent. Was Llandudno the right place?
Now you've picked me up on lochs.
Yeah.
Now I think I've got to pick you up. I asked Elvin last week and it's Llandudno.
Yeah.
Llandudno. Anyway,
one of my colleagues was calling it Llandud, yes, because we can't be negative about these things. So it's not Llandud.
That's about right.
Llandud, yes.
Okay. So, but equally, you kind of jumped off into a bit of controversy there. We can come back to Llandud, no, or not if we have time.
Right.
You know, for me, it was brilliant idea, tricky execution.
Yeah.
It would be harsh to say poor execution, but it was a tricky, very difficult one. I've referred to it as a square peg in a round hole. And we need to work on rounding off the peg to get
Absolutely.
It in hole when we go back there next year. But much more importantly, let us talk about the rally. And again, always a great event, great stages, best roads in the world. But for me this year, I don't know why I just didn't seem to fire it. It was a great competition. You know, how can you say that when you've got top four cars in 20 seconds or something and so close competition? But it just seemed it was 10th for 10th for 10th. Last year's event, we saw Tanak go off into those amazing lead and then a huge drama when he obviously had his problem in Sweet Lamb. And they never felt that there was that sort of drama this time. There was nothing to hang the event on in terms of mass excitement. But I guess the competition was the excitement.
Do you know what? I didn't really feel that sense of...
It wasn't an anticlimax. I think the fact was that... the fight was huge all the way through. And I've got to say, you know, I actually take that back. I might argue with myself a little bit there and say it was a magnificent event because, you know, Thierry was always there.
Just
Tanak just never let him get away.
I kind of agree with what you're saying. You know, no one was ever going to take 5 or 6 or 7 seconds, were they? It was tense.
Yeah, and that's the way the sport's at its absolute best.
And it's astonishing when you think of the conditions out there, when you think of the number of variables, setups, tyres, all sorts.
Changing every corner.
You know, we had after 100 and something miles, we had 10 seconds or so between the top four. Yeah. I mean, it's bonkers in those conditions when it's so slippery, it's so wet, it's foggy in places, they're driving at night.
Yeah.
They're driving in different ways, different styles, with different strategies. Three at the front, and you can include Meek in this, because Meek really did. You can maybe include him as four. You know, they were driving absolutely at the peak of their driving abilities. They were, you know, as good as they'd ever been, all three of them.
Yeah.
I think that is why it was so close.
I think, I mean, you've got to take your hat off to Meek.
Right.
On the first day, very, 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 very competent, very quick. But equally for me, what was super reassuring was the way that he understood what he had to do on day two and three. And he throttled back and he did it. You know, he didn't get back into that fight for the podium place. He drove brilliantly, very, very sensibly, really quick through Friday, led. And, you know, I have to say, there were fears from me when he had that moment in Aberhearnant on the Friday night. I thought, oh my Lord, you know, if he comes out and he gives it all guns on in through Dovey on Saturday morning, you know, it could either be, that could have been the 5 or 6 second stage win, or it could have been in the trees. He didn't. And, you know, he actually came out of Dovey, and was it Dovey or Dovenant?
Yeah.
No, Dovey. And said there was more grip in there. You know, I didn't explore all of it, which it showed, again, another step. Is it a step? I don't know. With great maturity from Chris.
No, it's a step, and it's a critical step, because, you know, Chris...
He's doing the job that Tommy wants him to do.
Correct. And the job that... there is an out-and-out number one in that Toyota team, and there wasn't at the start of the year, because I think Latvala, Tanak and Chris Meek all fancied their chances at the championship this year in the fastest car. I'm not going to say the best car, because I don't think it's proven to be the best car this year as yet, but it is the fastest car. You know, Meek's situation within that team has changed. Whether Meek's attitude has changed was the big question, but I think it has.
Yeah.
And I think he demonstrated it brilliantly.
Yep.
You know, he knows, he's not silly. He knows that there is a massive carrot dangling there that he can grasp and gobble, which is a contract for 2020.
It is.
But he has to do, particularly after the public... It was almost a slating, wasn't it, that he got from Macron, saying these boys aren't driving to what I'm telling them to drive to.
No, exactly.
You can't do that twice and expect to be kept on. I think Meek has put himself, as you wrote this week, David, in prime position for that number two seat next year. And he deserves it. He deserves it because he's a quick driver. He's showing he can be a team player.
But we've got to see more of that through Spain, through Australia. But he's in that position. He can do it now.
Elvin Evans. Without that puncture,
super.
Without that puncture,
right,
Evans...
There.
Was
right there.
He was the quickest driver on Saturday by about 4 or 5 seconds.
Quickest driver on Sunday.
And
he won
Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday.
So I think he was 38 seconds off the win at the end of the day, and he lost 45 with the problem.
He deserved a lot more. And
he did.
You know, the way that he jumped back in that car and was straight up to speed, superb. And for me, again, you know, we've seen another step from Elvin that real maturity, real self-belief that he can do it, and he can. Championship.
Go on, championship,
So where are we? So Tanak has...
28-point lead, isn't it? Remember, he has to be 31 points ahead, 30 points probably ahead at the end of Spain.
Yeah.
Which means finishing 3 or 4 points ahead of Ogier. Because, let's face it, you know, Neuville has an outside chance.
Yeah.
A real outside chance.
Thierry did, as I say, he drove well.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good event for Hyundai. You know, they've worked hard on the car. We've seen a step in Finland. And we saw, come on. You know, the car was quicker. A couple of years ago, that Hyundai was pretty much nowhere in GB.
Yeah.
They struggled like hell, like they struggled in Finland. They've brought some pace to the car on these fast gravel rallies.
Mm.
And again, it was really good confidence from Neuville.
Confidence has never been Neuville's problem. It purely has been the car and the speed of the car.
Ogier, who again struggled. And you know, the Citroën, it just didn't look comfortable in there, did it?
It really didn't. And he got as much out of that Citroën as anyone was
going to get. Yeah.
He got 105% out of that car.
Yeah.
And he absolutely... He was the one that was on the ragged edge. Tanak was driving. Tanak never looked like putting a wheel wrong.
No.
And strangely enough, nor did Neuville. You know,
no,
Neuville drove at a comfortable event.
But we saw Sebastian in a ditch on Friday morning. And, you know, they tested new suspension parts. It had worked. It had made the car quicker. And they couldn't use it because they couldn't get the homologation done. And, you know, immediately as a driver, you're coming into the event on the back foot, aren't you?
Not just that, David. Don't forget when Ogier tested... You couldn't see the car for dust.
Oh, yeah.
Quite literally for dust. It was Sardinia-like conditions. The following week, when Toyota tested, it was typical GB conditions. It was wet, it was muddy. That's when cars and drivers and teams are so close, when you're talking fractions, thousands of seconds at times, in terms of performance. That is the kind of advantage which you have to utilise, and that is exactly the advantage that Tanak and Meek both utilised at the weekend. They had the test in those difficult conditions, they made the most of it, and Ogier didn't. I think the big question is, what can Ogier do in Spain? Because we know the car was woeful in Germany. Yeah. How much better? What have they done to that car?
They are testing this week in Spain, aren't they? We know that they're working a lot on new suspension, on parts for the thing. And Sebastian said that, you know, he's done a small test in Paris and at their test track in Satori, and it's made a step. Yeah. So we will see. We really should take a break now, and we will be back for part two, which was going to be about Mull, but I've just remembered we should talk about Petter Solberg and Oliver Solberg and Kelly Rovanperä, our new junior world champion, and Jan Solans, our junior world champion. Mm-hmm. Did I say?
You said Rovanperä was the WRC 2 Pro champion, but don't worry about that. Sorry. Let's go to the break.
Come back in a second. Bye-bye. Welcome back to part two of Gravel Notes with David Evans. Sorry, that argument raged a little bit more about what I just said. We'll spin it back and have a listen. You can have a listen. Tell us. I may have got that wrong. But anyway, moving on rapidly to Petter and Oliver Solberg. What I just want to say, I thought in the first bit, we didn't. For me, all of Rally GB was a little bit flat this year. You know, I've spoken to a lot of people in the organising team, and it wasn't the great event that some people might be trying to make it out to be. Llandudno didn't really work, and they just felt there was a lot of animosity on the event. It didn't feel like a really nice round of the World Rally Championship to report on. It felt disjointed at times. It was tricky, and it wasn't a pleasant place to be all the time.
Okay, I'd agree with that. I had a couple of incidents, but I can't comment on Llandudno because, as I said earlier, I wasn't there. But from what I saw and from the atmosphere that I witnessed out in the stages, you know, the car park at Sweetland was full for the first time in years. Years. And it was full.
And I tell you why that was.
Because Petter Solberg was there. No question.
And you have to look, you know. The organisers talked about this click-through link from the website when the news went up about Solberg coming. They came in the thousands.
I'll tell you now. I had a chat with someone on Sunday evening who tried to take the credit for the increase in ticket sales. They were up 50% on the year before. There is only one reason why those car parks were full. There is only one reason why there were 3 or 4 mile tailbacks on the roads. There is only one reason, really, why people were making the effort to come into Llandudno. And that is Petter Solberg. Petter Solberg. Solberg still is, and always has been, one of the biggest draws in British rallying. I remember when I first got involved in 2002, when he won his first rally, driving back from that wasteland of Philindra to the centre of Cardiff, where the ceremonial prize giving was, or whatever it was, I can't remember, the podium at Cardiff Castle. Just about every bridge, motorway bridge that we went under, had people on it waving flags, Norwegian flags, British flags, Welsh flags, because Phil Mills was there. Solberg was the absolute diamond of Rally GB.
Yeah, and he was, and you know, the easiest way to see who everybody was there, not everybody was there for, a lot of people there for. I was spectating in a couple of stages, and as soon as Petter was through, gone. You know, normally it's the top 10 world rally cars or whatever, and then they're gone. You can see them all leaving, but they waited for Petter. And then equally, Alton Park, you know, the queue for his autograph at the autograph session was bonkers. I did a clip, I videoed it, and I bugged it up. I pressed the wrong button.
I think you say I've never seen it, but no surprise. No surprise.
The queue went on for miles, absolutely miles. And somebody said there were 200 people in the queue.
Right.
Petter did not get up, would not leave. You know, his time had gone, but he wouldn't leave. And then even when he did leave, he was walking down the line, still signing everything for everybody. He was brilliant. And you're right, he is a huge draw.
Other than Colin McRae, I don't think there is a single individual who has done more for rallying over the past 20 or 30 years than Petter Solberg.
And the encouraging thing is that he talks now about what he wants to do with the sport and the championship in the future.
Well, you know, he disappeared into the wasteland of RX for a while, didn't he?
Yeah.
And you know, he kind of tried to get involved in that, and he did get
involved.
Two world titles, and he had a fantastic presence there, and he did massive amounts for that sport. But he knows where his heart lies. It's in rallying. He knows he's going to be around the service park for the next 20 years with his son.
Yeah.
But I don't think he is going to be there as just a doting father. I think he's got plans. And I had a good chat with him on Sunday evening, and he was quite cagey about how much detail he shared, but I got excited. Yeah. I got excited. He is talking to someone, and you know, if it comes to fruition, Solberg will be a big, big name in rallying again.
In all honesty, it doesn't take a lot to get you excited, does it? You are reasonably excitable. But
sometimes I'm excited. You get me excited, David Evans, strangely enough.
Moving on. Oliver Solberg. We've seen great, great things from Oliver Solberg this year. But then, ultimately, you'd have to say it was a disappointment, the event. But those two stages, first thing Saturday morning, quickest of all of the R5 cars, great. And you know, we have no fear for Oliver Solberg and his future.
None whatsoever.
But moving very quickly on to the other junior driver, young driver, who was an absolute star, Kalle Rovanperä, who's I think one just short of 1 year older than Oliver. You know, what an amazing event. Just 2 years ago, struggled a little bit with Rally GB, came and kind of dominated WRC 2 last year, and totally dominated this year. You know, he had the puncture in wherever it was, Durvenant, I think, I can't remember.
Yeah,
but never
on it.
Never looked like being beaten.
It was on the Sweet Lamb Hafren stage, I think. It was one of my stages. It wasn't. But it might have been Duffnant, yeah.
But he was head and shoulders.
It was Duffnant, you're quite right. He was
super
head
confident,
and shoulders,
totally controlled. Ostberg had a problem, Gus Greensmith had a problem. It would have been exciting, but I can't see that any of them would really have troubled him.
No, they wouldn't have. And it's all rather confusing, and thank goodness the FIA have sorted this out for next year with these various classes. Forget WRC 2 Pro and R5 and whatever they were. There was three classes, weren't there?
Yeah.
I think Cave won one class, Solberg won the other class, Rovanperä won the third, and they were all in the same cars. The FIA is sorting that for next year. But forget all those classes. You know, in the R5 cars, he was miles above everyone else. He really was. His pace when he needed to show it, and don't forget, he didn't really need to show it too often, but when he needed to show the pace, was just breathtakingly quick.
Yeah.
You know, the word freak is quite often applied to, and it's freak is quite often a derogatory word, but freak is a word that's used to describe Rovanperä. And he is.
But do you know, the one person that said exactly that word to me at the end of last year was Pontus Tiedemann. Yeah. We were having a couple of pints in the pub in Czech Republic at Skoda's end of the year thing, and Pontus said, you know, he is a freak. Mm. He's the guy that comes along every once in a while, and he said, you know, for me, you almost have to take his time out of the leaderboard because you can't compete with that.
If you want to be world champion, you can't, because
you can't.
He's the benchmark that you're going to be setting yourself against for decades.
He is, absolutely. Decades. And maybe, do we think, I wrote before Rally GB, Junior WRC needs to deliver. We haven't had a superstar coming out of there since, you know, Elvin, Craig Breen, these kind of people. There's been a few years since it's been, the guy hasn't really come forward and challenged. Is Jan Solans that guy?
Well, you know, there was his brother 2 years ago.
Who was super, super dominant, won
really
just
good,
about every
really
round, and had a difficult year in WRC.
Yeah, and the Spanish tell me that young Niels, who's the kid that won this year, is naturally more gifted.
Sorry, I got it the wrong way around, didn't I?
I don't know. I don't know, I get confused as well.
No, Jan...
Who's the guy that won this year? Yeah, you're right, Jan won it this year. His brother, Niels.
Oh, man.
Jan won this year.
I'm so sorry, listeners.
It is confusing. It is confusing. And you know, we had a late night last night. I didn't get much sleep because David snored like a...
Honestly,
it
was a long, long,
long drive.
Long drive up country
so
yesterday.
So, let's get this straight. Jan's won it 2 years ago, the older brother. Niels won it this year.
No! Really? You might not be invited back.
Let's get it straight. Who won it this year?
Jan! Wow. Maybe we need to edit this bit out.
Right. No, leave it. Oh. Leave it. So the young Solans, let's not use names. That's a simple way. The young Solans who won it this year.
The younger
year,
of the two Solans.
Right, who won this year, who is now the current Junior World Rally Champion. I'm told, naturally, is a little more talented, a little more gifted, and perhaps as a prospect. The thing is, David, that Spain, as we know, is a hotbed for motorsport. And you know, they love their motorbikes. They love their Formula One. They absolutely adore their rallying, and they worship their rallying. And yeah, Danny Sordo has been there or thereabouts for what now, since 2003, 2004. Yeah. But he's only delivered one victory in that time. They are two victories in that time. You know, they are desperate. They are desperate for someone to challenge at the very top. And
yeah.
You know, I don't know. There have been a few over the years, haven't there, that have come through and won the juniors. Who won it before the older Solons? It was there was another one won it about 3 or 4 years ago. You know, a young Spanish kid, and he never came to anything either.
Sola?
No, after Sola. He was a quick driver, Danny Sola. No. Someone quite as old as him. But, you know, the Spanish are crying out, much as we are in the UK, they are crying out for another top-level driver who can challenge. And whether it's the younger of the Solons is, well, next year we'll tell. He's got the R5 drive next year. It's a great prize once again from M Sport and the FIA.
Yeah.
And Pirelli. Who's it?
The tire.
So it's only time will tell. It's very difficult. Very difficult.
Absolutely. So we are already up to 23 minutes or 22 minutes and at least
you
3
can
minutes
take
of
that last 4 or 5 minutes out because it was garbled rubbish.
It was nonsense.
Sorry.
Sorry to the Spanish audience if we leave that in. But very quickly. What do we expect from Mull? Apart from a bit of rain and drop of wee dram.
We expect the locals to dominate again, particularly if the weather's bad. You know, Mull is a very specialist rally. It's a fantastic rally.
They understand the grip and the roads and everything.
And they understand where the water runs across the road. They understand where the water gathers when it rains. You know, it's a very specialist rally. You drive these roads and you think, how do they compete on these roads? Because they are so narrow. They are so twisty. A lot of blind crests.
But equally, it there's a lot of rain coming this weekend. An awful lot of rain coming.
Huge amounts.
And can a Mark II Escort? There's three. You know, there's obviously John McCrone in a Mark II, and there's Callum Duffy in a Mark II.
And
Bogey. Bogey's not a local. Only his second time here. It'd be brilliant to see Bogey win it.
Quick
I have
driver.
To say, lovely lad. But can Callum Duffy beat four-wheel drive cars in conditional addicts? A few years ago,
I saw him averaging 125 miles an hour down the Loch stage. The Glen stage, in the dark, in the pouring rain, on a road which was barely wide enough for the Mark II Escort.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, he can win it because I think it could be quite an atrocious weekend with these weather conditions. You know, those boys will all push each other very, very hard.
Atrocious.
Yeah, I think we'll find one or two boys making mistakes and picking up punctures and things like that over the course of the weekend. So I think, any of those Mark II Escorts can win. If you're having a bet, your money goes on McKinnon. He's won it a few times. He's in the R5 car. The weather forecast is definitely going to suit him.
It's going to suit
you. I remember talking to Mikko Hirvonen about this rally, and he said he would love to do it one day, but he'd need to find 2 months in his calendar because he said to beat the locals, and he actually said to beat the postman, I would have to be out here wrecking for 2 months.
That
is not too far off what's the truth, I would imagine.
It's not, but it's fair to say that the island is absolutely full. We had to get up very early to get on the boat over. We couldn't book the proper one from Oban to Craignure. We've gone on a small ferry. Lord alone knows when we'll get off the island. Hopefully Sunday morning. But in between then, here and then, we've got an amazing Beatson's Building Supplies Mull Rally to look forward to. I've got to say, I'm absolutely delighted that Duffy's back in a Mark II Escort. You know, the Skoda thing that he came in 3 years ago was great, but he's a Mark II Escort man, and it's going to be an absolute treat to stand out in the rain and watch him this weekend. I will be back next week with more Gravel Notes and some tarmac notes, because obviously we're on the tarmac rally now. And Colin might be invited back if he learns a bit more about Spanish rallying. Thank you very much for listening. And if you want to catch up on the Mull Rally results, would Autosport cover that? Maybe not. We might cover it in National. I don't know. But have a look anyway. And for all of your rally news updates, please go to autosport.com, motorsport.com. And don't forget, one place you will read all about Mull Rally, the Beatson's Building Supplies Mull Rally, is Motorsport News next week, so grab a copy on Wednesday. There might be a bit in Autosport as well, and that's it. We are off to get wet.